Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows me, probably any of my friends or family or, especially any young lady friend that may have had the the unmitigated gall to actually date me in my life, because I don't know, a lot of them know that I do the show. So you never know who might be listening out there. They all know, everybody knows that Commissioner T is a last minute kind of guy. And I'm going to try to do a little early this year. I'm going to try to maybe do it in phases, but I don't do the whole Black Friday, stand in line, you know, I don't do all that. I just never, there was one year that I wanted a TV, and so I did actually go out by 11 o'clock on Friday, and I bought a TV, and it was, I got a decent deal. I was pretty happy with it. But other than that, they say blowout deals and all of that. But, you know, I don't know. I'm still eating my turkey. I'm still eating my dressing. I'm still eating my, you know, my sweet potato pie and, banana pudding. I'm still dealing with Thanksgiving. I can't make that immediate turn from Thanksgiving to Christmas. I can't do it. So, you know, I appreciate the sales and all of that. But if you guys can and you were out there, hey, you know what? Congratulations. But, you know, I remember growing up, man, it was Black Friday. Now it's, you know, Black Thursday night, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, Internet Wednesday, Scratch My Middle Toe Thursday, Let's Get a Drink Friday. I don't get it. And they say the economy is hurting. I don't know. With what I saw on TV and the people out there, you know. But can I just ask the retailers just one favor, though? I get it. I was in retail for a number of years before I changed fields. And in some respects, I'm still in retail. It's just banking retail instead of over-the-counter or household goods retail. But I spent years in that field, and I get it. But can you leave Thanksgiving alone, please? I mean, can you just leave Thanksgiving Day alone? People, we don't spend enough time. Let me tell you something. I want everybody to hear me very clearly, okay? And this is coming from my heart. We don't spend enough time with our friends and family, okay? We really don't. You think about your life. That is precious time. And what happens when we lose somebody we care about? What's the first thing we say? Should have spent more time with them. Should have called them more. Should have visited them more, right? So here we have a holiday that is designed for friends, family, and loved ones to get together and break bread, right? That's what it's designed for. And we're going to mess that up. 7 o'clock and say, go shopping. I mean, can we leave Thanksgiving Day alone, please? I know this is an NFL show. You guys don't have to forgive me. But part of the reason is, don't we have football on all day? I mean, to me, Thanksgiving is football, family, and food, right? Somebody told me another F, but I can't repeat that on the air. And I said, well, good for you. That's, you know, not in my world right now. But I understand what they talk about, you know. And if you're rolling like that, hey, I'm with you. Anyway, Commissioner T here, the Madden voice. We are live And did you see the game last night? If you want to call in, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. You want to tweet, just go to at the Madden Voice, or just send a tweet and hashtag TMV. Now, listen, fans of the Madden Voice, you know, I made a plea to you guys Tuesday night. I asked nicely, and I said, please, and maybe I wasn't clear, so I'm going to ask again. I'm going to be clear this time, okay? Because we only had one person respond, and thank you. Thank you, Adam. You know who you are. We want K-Star to host the show Tuesday night. And I know, because I get the reports on how many people are out there listening to the Madden Voice, and it is substantially more than 10 people, okay? It is substantially more. And thank you for your loyalty, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy the show, and if there's anything we can do better, let us know. But in the meantime, I'm going to be clear. Hashtag K-Star, please host. Okay? No, I'm sorry, not hashtag. Scrap that. I'm not even being clear to myself. Send a message out to me, the Madden Voice, and put on there, K-Star, please host, and hashtag TMV for the Madden Voice. Okay? Send it to me, at the Madden Voice. Many of you are following me on Twitter. Hashtag TMV, and it's put in there, K-Star, please host. We got one. We need nine more. Okay? Now, I know how many people listen Tuesday night. I'm disappointed in you guys. I said, and there was a lot more live people than we normally get. So I asked the archive people to put the show on pause. You live people now. You know what I'm saying? Go right now to your Twitter account. Please do this for me. I want K-Star to host Tuesday night. I really do. Okay? And this is what he said he would do if 10 people send that message. So do that for me. All right. Anyway, moving on. Did you guys see the game last night? Yes, I picked the Saints to win. Saints lost. But you know, and I find it poetic justice that my man Tony Romo, and yes, everything always goes back to Dallas because Dallas is the center of the football universe. Get used to it. But my man Tony Romo was ridiculed for throwing 5 interceptions. And now Matt Ryan has done it this year. And now the great Drew Brees. Now, don't get me wrong. Drew Brees, I would never put Tony Romo in the category of Drew Brees. It's just not going to happen. Okay, forgive me, Tony. Love you. But you're not a Drew Brees. You're not. I don't think you ever will be a Drew Brees. You're just not that good. You're great, but Drew Brees is elite. He is an elite quarterback. I think Tony Romo is a great quarterback. Drew Brees is an elite quarterback. And he threw 5 picks last night. And a couple of them throws were on Drew. Not all of them. There was a tip and this, that, and the other. But a couple of them throws were on Drew. But, you know, when you go down and you're trying to come back, sometimes you take chances. And we're seeing a lot of that this year. We're seeing a lot of quarterbacks taking more chances. But let me ask you a question. Now, first of all, let's just come right out and say it. Saints are all done. I've held out hope for the Saints. Mathematically, they are still very much alive, and I expect them to keep fighting. And Drew Brees better keep fighting because, you know, I may lose both my fantasy games now because Drew Brees put up such an abysmal performance. No touchdown passes. And this is the first time, I think, in 54 games that Drew Brees throws no touchdown passes. 5 interceptions. One of my games, I think he got me like 3 points. you know, it's a kind of a harder scoring league. The other league, I think maybe 7. I don't know. It just wasn't a good game. So, Drew, you need to come back, and because playoffs are coming soon, and I need you to perform. I expect the Saints to continue fighting, but the reality of it is they're done. I will now say I have no hope that the Saints will make the playoffs. They at 5-7, it's over. It's over for them. 4 games to go. They'd have to win out all 4. Which I don't have their schedule in front of me because it just, to me, it really wasn't even, you know what, let's just take a quick look. The main thing I wanted to do was talk about Atlanta, but let's take a quick look. The good news is when you have your resources, right? I got my computer, I got my iPod, I got my cell phone. I got everything right here. I can find things out really quick. Saints are 5-7 right now. Their defense is abysmal. Although it played a little bit better last night, overall, it still is not very good. The Saints, next game is against the Giants in New York. We know the Giants are vulnerable at home. That game could go either way. Okay, you can't say the Saints can go in there and roll. Giants defense steps up, the game's over. Then they come back home to play Tampa Bay. I would expect them to beat Tampa, but you know, Tampa is a surprisingly competitive, surprisingly decent team. But New Orleans did beat them in Tampa earlier this year. I would expect New Orleans to be able to win that game. Then New Orleans will go to Dallas and play the Cowboys. Of course, I want the Cowboys to win that game. But can New Orleans win that game? Sure they can. Dallas does not hold home court well at all. So New Orleans can certainly go in there and win. And I recall a game, it might have been 2009. No, I'm sorry. It's farther back than that. Parcells was still coaching the Cowboys. I think it was Sean Payton's first or second year. And New Orleans went into Dallas and put a hurting on the Cowboys. And I was actually in New Orleans in my hotel room watching the game. And I actually for a moment thought the game was, because my hotel was right up the street from the Superdome. This was actually, I can tell you when this was, because let me think. This was probably 07? No, Katrina was 06, right? This was before Katrina. No, it was after Katrina. You know what? I don't even remember. I'd have to go look it up. It was many years ago, but I remember this game. Anyway, I digress. Can New Orleans go in and beat Dallas in Dallas? Sure they can. And then they have to go home against Carolina. So I would expect that New Orleans can certainly go 2-2 or 3-1 down the stretch. But where does that put you when you're 5-7? That puts you at, 7-9, at best 8-8. It's not going to be good enough to get a wild card. It's not going to happen. So New Orleans is done. New Orleans is done. But let's just talk about this 11-1 Atlanta team. 7 victories by 7 points or less. And let's talk about the fact that their defense stepped up and played well against New Orleans, and they finally refound Michael Turner, which is helpful for me because he's on one of my fantasy teams. But they finally refound Michael Turner. Roddy White, one catch for 20 yards. You know, one touchdown pass by Matt Ryan, one touchdown run. Let's look at the most amazing stat of the night for a team that is 11-1. Third down efficiency, 1 out of 11. Are you kidding me? The Saints were 7 out of 14. If they did half the turnovers, Saints win that game. The Saints really did outplay Atlanta. They just succumbed. You can't have 5 picks and win a game. Matt Ryan did it. That's unusual. I would bet you of the number of 5 pick games in the NFL, I would bet you that except maybe Matt Ryan's win, they're all losses. You just can't do that. But 1 out of 11 on third down, and you wonder why Atlanta doesn't win playoff games? This team is vulnerable. And that's why they don't get the respect at 11-1 that they think they deserve. They look at their record and they say, we're 11-1, and people are talking about the 49ers. People are waiting for the Giants to make a run. They're talking about the Bears, not at Cutler's back. You know, maybe the Packers are going to wake up and make a run. Even the Saints got more airtime. And I bet you a lot of people picked the Saints to go in there and win this game last night, considering the Saints had won 11 out of the previous 13 games. You know, but when you only convert 1 out of 11 third downs, when you've got Roddy White, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez, and you throw one touchdown pass on a Saints defense that gives up 400 yards passing a game, you know, I can't feel good about this team. Now, granted, on our power rankings, they're number one. On the NFL's power rankings, they're either number one or number two behind Houston, because you can't ignore the fact that they are 11-1. But when they get in the playoffs and they're going to have to face some of these NFC studs, you know, and more than likely they're gonna see a first round bye. It's coming, you know. At the rate that they're going now, it's fairly likely that they'll get a first round bye. I'm sorry, home field all the way through. So first round bye and home all the way through, and they're very good at home. But you know, right now, let's look at this for a minute. Can they beat the Bears? With the Bears defense, can they beat the 49ers right now? Even a Giant team that gets on a roll, can they beat the Giants? Didn't the Cowboys play them tough? You know, the Packers? So, Atlanta, I want to like you. But you remember what I said? There's a stack of quarterbacks in this league that I just don't believe in. I think they're good. You know, and many would throw Tony Romo in there. Okay, I'm not going to argue that. But when you talk about Matt Ryan, Schaub in Baltimore, you know, Alex Smith I threw in there. Now, you know, evidently maybe I wasn't too far off base, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But now he's riding the bench. You know, there's quarterbacks out there that I just, you know, Freeman out in Tampa, you know, Ponder. These guys, I don't believe in these guys. I just don't. I don't see them as, you know, the heir apparent to their throne. I don't see them as the next coming. I don't see them as budding superstars. I see them as good, solid quarterbacks. Maybe a little bit better than game managers, but not playmakers, not you know, can take their teams and put it on their shoulder and say, I'm going to will a victory like a Breeze or a Brady or a Rodgers. I don't see that. Of course, now Peyton Manning, the four, you know, the Mount Rushmore of NFL quarterbacks. And listen, Breeze is still in there. Don't send me any tweets. Don't send me messages saying, wait a minute, five picks. He had a bad game. The guy is still, as Stephen A. Smith would say, a stud. Okay, he's still there. He's still an elite quarterback in the NFL. Okay, period. He had a bad game. His team has faced a lot of adversity this year. You mark my words. Peyton gets back at the helm next year. The Saints are back in contention immediately. And there's going to be some, as Mike Tomlin would say, some hell to pay. They're going to be on a vengeance next year. And if you're a Saints fan, just hang tight. You had a rough year, and I get it. But just hang tight. But, I'm not a believer in Atlanta. And at this point, you know, if Denver beats the Bucks, Atlanta wins the division. I think Atlanta probably will shut down after they get home field, and then we'll see in the playoffs. But at this point, I don't see them getting out of the divisional round game. I don't see it happening. All right, remember, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. We've got a caller, 609 area code, 609. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Yo, king of all gurus, man. This is Jersey in the house. How you guys doing on a beautiful Friday?
Good. Doing great. How you doing today?
Hey, not too bad, man. Both teams 8-4. Got to win this week to win the division, so I'm trying to get a bye. Here's my dilemma. I got a wacky leg, PPR leg, 10-point rushing touchdown. If he gets 100 yards rushing, that's an extra 5 bonus points, or an extra 100 yards if they receive. That's also 5 bonus points, along with a point for every 10 yards. My question is, I got Ridley. I have Ryan Matthews, I have Forte, I have Beanie Walls, and I have DeMarco Murray. I've been going with Ridley and Forte for the most part. They've been pretty consistent. I just picked up Walls this week, and I had DeMarco Murray a couple weeks ago. What do I do with Ridley maybe going against a tough matchup against Miami, but he's been my stud? Forte with the ankle may play, but Bush may vulture like he did last week, the touchdowns. Walls might have a pretty good matchup, but don't know what's going to happen there. Matthews, we don't know what's going on. And DeMarco Murray, I may want to see a week. I don't know. Out of those five, my friend, I need two. Any advice?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I have a similar dilemma, so I can tell you what I'm going to do. I've got Ridley. Ridley's been very consistent. Ridley's staying. Right. And I've had Murray sitting on my bench in one of my leagues for 7 weeks waiting for him to come back. He's going up against Philly. Philly can't play D. Forget they can't stop the run, they can't stop the pass. They just can't play D. DeMarco Murray has practiced 2 days in a row. It's looking like he's going to start. The Cowboys need to establish a run game. They're going to feature him early and often. Beanie Wells coming off injuries, playing better, but I tough matchup. Forte, ankle injury. I think we're going to see a lot of Bush in that game.
Yeah.
They want to preserve Forte as much as possible. Look at them last year when Forte went down. They're just not the same team. They need Forte down the stretch. If I'm you, and like I said, I'm in a similar predicament, I'm going with Ridley and I'm going with Murray. Unless I hear something by Sunday, but all accounts are that Murray's playing and that they were not bringing Murray back until he was full strength.
Right. Are you worried about a setback with Murray maybe happening in the first or second quarter and then going down? Because like I said, I mean, I'm tied for first. If I win, I get the bye. I get the money, and I get a bye to week 15. So right now, I have 9 points from Julio Jones. So I'm up 9-0 with 7 guys left, and he's got all his. So, I mean, I have Brady left. I have Victor Cruz, Witten, 49ers defense, and either Bailey or Hanson as my kicker. I got to pick either one of them. But I just want to make sure I do it right because I want the extra money and the buy. You know what I mean?
You know, you're gonna if you're gonna second guess it all the way up until kickoff on Sunday anyway. But here's the thing with Murray. He's been out 7 weeks. The Cowboys have had 10 days because they obviously played on Thanksgiving. I follow the Cowboys religiously, so I can tell you they were not bringing him back until he was 100%, period. And so the fact that he's practiced 2 days in a row, he had light practice on when he had actually 3 days in a row. To me speaks well that he is 100%. I'm not worried about him re-injuring his ankle because it's 100%. If they had brought him back for Thanksgiving, I would have been worried because I would have thought that that was a little early. But they waited out Thanksgiving, which, you know, in retrospect, should they have brought him back with the way they played? I don't know. But they made that decision, and now they live with it. I think if Murray starts, Murray's going to be a stud on Sunday. You got to realize, he hasn't played in 7 weeks. Fresh legs, hasn't been hit.
Yeah, fresh legs. He's healthy, yeah. Because my other leg, I got Bryce Brown and Trent Richardson going in the standard. But I got Romo and I got Witten as my two guys. So that's why I said I'm hoping that Romo would throw a lot because really they didn't have a running game with Murray out there. You're absolutely correct on there. And like I said, I didn't know if I should wait. It's like Kevin Bean Wells was out all those weeks and had a great week last week, so I guess DeMarco could too. It's just you hate the – you like your studs all the time and you hate to jumble around. But like you said, my guys, some are banged up, some are bad matchups, so that's why I figured let me see what you think. And if you follow the Cowboys then
– Let me bring on I have Dr. Train, one of my co-hosts, just called in, and and let me see if he's available to talk about
Appreciate it.
Yeah, hold on. Let me grab him. I know he's probably just waking up because I know how his schedule is, but we're going to bring him on anyway. Dr. Train, I know you may not be prepared to come on, but we're bringing you on anyway. Are you there?
Wow, man. Sometimes I just want to call and listen like the other normal people.
That's okay. I just a quick question.
It sounds like we woke him up. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The caller's asking fantasy-wise. He's asking about the status of Matt Forte's ankle. Do you have any updates that would help him decide whether to start Forte or bench him?
Forte will play this week. And really, starting him depends on who you have besides him. I have Matt Forte. I have Michael Turner. I have Marcel Reese. So I went ahead and started Michael Turner, and I'll probably end up starting Matt Forte if he's definitely starting for the game.
Yeah, see, I have Ridley, I have Beanie Wells, I have DeMarco Murray, and I have Ryan Matthews. So I don't have bad options. Like I said, I used to have Michael Bush on my team as a backup when I dropped him a couple weeks ago because I picked up Murray. And like I said, you just worry about Bush being the vulture again and then with that tweaked ankle. But, you know, because they actually, whoever they played, didn't they shut down Marshawn Lynch last week, whoever Chicago's playing? Was they shut Marshawn down last week? It was a pretty good stud back. That's what made me wondering, are they going to play? And Lovie Smith plays that game. He's like North Turner with the running backs, you know what I mean? When it comes to the goal line, you know, he turns it over to Bush. Although it was the first time in many weeks, but he vultured two touchdowns.
Yeah.
20 points in my league, 10-point rushing touchdown.
Yeah, Bush is definitely a touchdown vulture, and it sucks. But it sounds like with the option, if Matt Forte is able to play, then I would play Matt Forte.
You would play Forte if he's able to go.
Yeah. I have him myself, and I plan to play him if he's able to play.
Yeah, because like I was telling the host, that, you know, if I win this week, I get a bye. I win the division, I get a bye until week 15. Because like I said, I only got 9 points from Julio last night. So, you know, I got Cruz left and, you know, Witten and the 49ers defense. So, it's just, and, you know, just a matter of picking the right guy going with Ridley because I don't know if Ridley is going to put up a lot of numbers this week. I love Ridley. He's been my workhorse. But, you know, something, Miami's a tough D. But, you know, if they get the ball down to 3 or 2 yard line, hopefully Ridley gets a touchdown because it's 10 points. But with that offense, you never know what the head coach. He's
a good start.
I would go. I mean, to me, of the five backs you named, and I have Ridley. To me, Ridley's a lock. Ridley's been very consistent, and I would go Ridley. I think what you come down to. I'm not keen on Matthews, to be frank with you. But I think what it really comes down to. Now, Beanie, who do the Cardinals play this week?
They play the Jets. I mean, they play the Jets, whose defense stinks. I mean, They got 157 yards on rushing against them last week was New England.
Yeah, see, you got a tough decision because you have three running backs, in my opinion, that all could go off. Forte,
right?
I mean, at any given moment, he can go off. Murray's fresh,
yep.
Hasn't played in 2 months. He could go off against
right.
the Eagles. We know their defense sucks. And then Beanie Wells played well last week, coming back against the Jets, who their defense is horrible now too. So, that's you know,
that's, like pick your poison. I'm between a rock and a hard stone. You know what I mean? It's like, what decision
I'll
do you make?
I'll say this. There are two running backs you should play this week simply because they have been solid and simply because it favors them. And that's Ridley and that's Beanie Wells. You got to understand, Beanie Wells plays for Arizona. Arizona is not good at passing the ball. Their only option is to run the ball. And if Beanie Wells is the starter, then you play Beanie Wells. Because he's going to get a lot of touches on that ball.
Right.
Regardless of who they're playing.
Yeah, because with that rookie quarterback in there, he ain't going to put the ball up in the air too much. I mean, they stack the box, but he's going to have to throw a little bit. But like you said, hopefully he'll get it done. And again, you hate to start somebody you just picked up, but you know something? Sometimes they have a better matchup than your stud if your stud's banged up. Because if Forte was probably healthy, I'd probably play him. But when I saw what happened being healthy and Bush come in and take stuff, scares the heck out of me, man. You know what I mean? So
I understand.
and don't snooze on Murray only because
Phil
Jones hasn't done much. They're going to want to run him, and the Cowboys are playing the Eagles, but they're looking ahead as scheme wise. And I know they want to establish the run. One of the biggest problems they've had in some of these losses is we're almost throwing the ball 50 times a game. There's been no real run game. And with Murray back, they're going to want to establish him. Not saying that Romo's not going to get his 300 yards and three touchdowns, but I'm looking for Murray to put 120 yards and a touchdown or two on the board too.
That'd be beautiful, man, because that would give me 17. That would give me 27 points. I'll take that in a heartbeat, you know. You get 12 points plus 5 for the bonus points for getting over 100 yards. There's 17 plus 10 for the rushing touchdown. 27 points, I'll live with that, no problem. You give me 20 points, I'll live with it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So that's what I'm looking for.
I would play Murray over Forte if Murray's healthy and if he's starting because they are playing the Eagles and the Eagles are bad.
Okay, and you would play him over Beanie also, right, Murray?
I would. I would, but that's a tough call because Train is right about, Arizona, they're not going to put it up as much as Dallas might. So Beanie's going to get a lot of touches. And the Jets D has not been very good. So that is a tough one. But for my money, because Murray's very fresh and ready to go. Cowboys had 10 days off, so the team is fresh, or as fresh as you can be going into December. My money, I'd lean towards Murray, and all of those factors considered.
All right, man. I appreciate it, guys. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys. Best of luck to you guys this weekend.
All right.
Thank you very much for your advice. You guys have a good weekend. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye. All right, that's our New Jersey
call.
Sorry, Trey. I figured he was asking about Forte. I saw you on the line, so I said, let me pull you in. So, let me publicly say this while I have you on it, and I'll meet you back. But congratulations on the job, my brother.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, happy for you, man. All right, here we go. All right, man. So we're going to mute back Dr. Train. That's Dr. Train. You know, and you guys, I know y'all like listening to Dr. Train's philosophy. Actually, I found a little bit of music that I'm going to play Tuesday night for Dr. Train, unless K-Star's hosting, which if you want K-Star to host, go to your Twitter account right now and say, send it to @TheMaddenVoice and say, K-Star host, please, and hashtag TMV. Okay? So do that right now. Stop. Not now, but right now. Go ahead and do that. But if that's not the case, and I am hosting, I have a little music I'm going to surprise Dr. Train with when we do his Dr. Train's Philosophy Tuesday night, and I think he's going to like it. Just a little clip, just a little something for Dr. Train. But anyway, let's talk about and again, we want to thank I think he said his name is Jersey Joe. Is that what he goes? I know his 609 area code is Central New Jersey because I used to live down there. But anyway, he calls in almost weekly on Fridays asking for fantasy advice. At some point, I think we're going to have to charge him because I think our advice has been pretty solid. And he's 8-4 in both his leagues, and he's been getting a lot of advice from the Madden voice. So we may have to, get a little surcharge or something from him. But anyway, this big debate – in San Francisco over Smith or Kaepernick to me is I don't get the debate. So I said, well, let me look at the numbers a little bit here. Let me dig into this a little bit more to understand what the debate is. I looked at the last two games San Francisco has played, and looking at they put 30 points per game up, and I said, this is the guy. This is the guy. I looked at the versatility that this guy brings, being able to run a spread option, being able to scramble, and the touchdown pass they did. The touchdown run that he did and his agility, and I said, this is the guy. I look at his arm strength, and I look at his accuracy, and I say, this is the guy. I look at the fact that Harbaugh went out and went to get him in the third round, knowing that he had Alex Smith. This is the guy, okay? And when you have Alex Smith take your team to the conference championship game and you lose, when Alex Smith is 26-6 as a starter and you still bring in Peyton Manning to work out for your team. Clearly, Harbaugh is saying we need a better quarterback. Clearly, Harbaugh is saying you're good, we need better. We have a world-class defense. I need a world-class quarterback. If I can't go get one on the waiver wire or in a trade or what have you, then I'm going to go out and find one. So clearly, he has already made this decision. And why he's half-stepping, I don't get it. But we know Kaepernick is going to start. So I went and I looked at the stats, and I said, well, let me check this out. And I'm looking at both the quarterback stats. Alex Smith rating 104.1. you got to feel bad for Alex Smith, but I'd say you got an $8 million bonus coming up if you stay on the team next year. I'd say don't spend that money, because I don't think you're going to be there next year, and I think there's several teams that would be more than happy to have you, and one of them might be out my way out here in New York, and no, we're not talking about the Giants, might be those Jets, but anyway, another conversation. So 104.1 for Alex Smith, 102.3 for Kaepernick. So, not even 2-point difference, but both over 100 QBR, and that's the NFL.com QBR. Then I looked at completion percentage. Now, Alex Smith's throwing 70%. That's exceptional. Okay, that's Peyton Manning-esque. But Kaepernick's at 65%. And in the NFL, you need to be, at least 63%. You need to be around 2 out of 3 passes complete in the NFL. Kaepernick's right there. Yards per attempt, 9.2 for Kaepernick, 8.0 for Smith. Touchdown passes. Now, Smith has 13 TDs to 5 interceptions. Kaepernick has 3 touchdowns in 2 games, 2 starts to 1 interception. Interception percentage, Kaepernick a little bit better at 1.4 to Smith 2.3. Their long is about the same, 55 and 57. Sacks, Smith's got 24, Kaepernick's got 6. So per game, pretty much about the same. So, many of the stats are a wash. And you have to say, Alex Smith, not only a first-round draft pick, but your number one overall pick, Colin Kaepernick, a third-round draft pick, and the numbers to be the same? Need I say more? I mean, there's nothing more to talk about. You would expect your first-round number one draft pick, number one in the draft, to distance himself. But let's just say, forget that. Let's just say the stats are a wash. And you say, well, if the stats are a wash, shouldn't the incumbent win? Election incumbent. And I say, what does your eyes tell you? When you watch the 49ers and you watch Smith and you watch Kaepernick, what's the sniff test on that? What do your eyes say to you? And this is, to me, where you can't deny that Kaepernick is the guy. Don't you just get a feel that this guy has a better command of Alex Smith's team than Alex Smith? Don't you just get a sense that he is commanding and running that offense and giving them more options than Alex Smith? And why aren't the 49er players up in arms and protesting over this? Because they know. They know. So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, unless Kaepernick gets hurt, Smith's done in San Francisco. Period. He's done. You will not see him take a snap. And don't get me wrong. They're not going to bring him in the fourth quarter up by 30 points. Okay, they'll go to the third-string quarterback. They're not going to do that to Alex Smith, first-round number one draft pick. They're not going to. So he's all done unless Kaepernick gets a concussion, because we've seen – not jinxing him, but we're seeing that almost every week now, or some kind of injury. Then, of course, Smith comes in. But imagine Harbaugh when your backup quarterback is a number one pick and he's your backup. And that's a pretty nice place to be. But let's put this debate to bed right now. You're hearing it live. Commissioner T, the Madden Voice, 347-838-9525, Twitter, at the Madden Voice, hashtag TMV. Kaepernick's the man, moving forward, end of discussion. It's over. It's done. Alex Smith will have a new home next year. I said it, I meant it, and I stick by it. All right, let's see. Okay, moving on to the next topic. We've got Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And, you know, I looked at this game, and I'm hearing reports that it looks like Ben Roethlisberger is going to be out again, although they haven't ruled him out, but it's not looking good. And we've pretty much said if Ben doesn't play, then they go down, and that's it, and the Steelers go to 6-6. So then I started asking myself, what happens if Ben returns the following week? Now let me just say this before we do that. The NFL is a funny, funny league. And a game like this without Ben, I don't know if Batch is going to get the start or if Leftwich, is he healthy enough to start? I don't know. I don't know if they went and picked up somebody off the street, maybe Ryan Leaf or somebody will be starting for him. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll go bring Terry Bradshaw out of the booth and, at Fox and put him on the field. I don't know who's starting a quarterback. But the NFL is a funny league. And I just want to say, while I pick Baltimore at home, and while I expect Baltimore to win this game, do not sleep on a Steeler team that is being written off for this game, and some are already writing them off for the season. Don't sleep on that team. Don't sleep on Mike Tomlin sitting down with this team before they get on the flight, or standing up on the flight and saying to them, I need to have a talk with you. I need to rap with you for a minute. I need to holler at you. And pulling out newspaper reports and internet reports and blogs and playing clips from First Take, Numbers Don't Lie, Mike and Mike in the Morning, The Madden Voice, and saying, this is what everybody is saying about you. This is what they're saying. They're saying we're done. What do you guys think? Do not underestimate a team with its back against the wall. The Saints, I thought, would have been that team last night, but there was nobody to stand up on the flight to Atlanta, if they even flew, because New Orleans, you can actually drive. I've driven it. Long story, but I've driven Atlanta to New Orleans, and it's I don't know, 6 to 8 hours, so I don't know that they flew. They might have, you know, taken a bus for all I know. But I'm sure no one stood up and said, they're counting us out, they're not giving us a chance. I heard Drew Brees pregame, this is our division, they know it, we know it, and they know it. Well, you know, you're 5-6, they're 10-1, you're 5 games out with 5 games to go. I don't think they knew that, even if they had lost. I don't think they knew that. I don't think anybody knew that. I don't think anybody stood up and told the Saints, your back's against the wall, come out and fight. I don't think so. But I will bet you that Tomlin is going to tell them that. Tomlin's going to say, time to get angry. This is what I've been waiting for the Cowboys, by the way, but that's another conversation. It's time to get angry. So while I pick Baltimore, I expect the Steelers to fight. I expect mad fight out of the Steelers. And I would not be shocked if they were able to pull an upset in Baltimore. Trap game. But let's just assume that things go according to plan. Let's just assume that the Steelers lose, which they should lose in Baltimore. They go down to 6-6, and they have 4 games to go. And Ben comes back and plays these 4 games. Can they make the playoffs? Well, the answer is absolutely. Let's look at these games real quick. They have to go and play San Diego at home. I have no faith in San Diego. They go play Dallas in Dallas. I don't know what Dallas team is going to show up that day. But certainly Pittsburgh can be a Dallas team in Dallas. They have to play Cincinnati at home. That's going to be a tough game. But they can beat Cincinnati at home with Ben. And then they finish off at home with Cleveland. So notice what I said. 3 out of 4 games at home. The only away game is in Dallas. And we already know that Dallas has no home field advantage. None. I'm sorry to say, none. I don't know why. It puzzles me. 90,000 people screaming gives that team no home field advantage. And the way the Pittsburgh fans travel or the way they're worldwide with the terrible tiles, I'm almost afraid to see how much black and yellow is going to be in that stadium. So let's not write off Pittsburgh just yet, even if they lose to Baltimore and go to 6-6, because they stacked up some early wins and there aren't a lot of people knocking on that door. The only team that I would really be worried about, I think that Week 16 game against Cincinnati is going to be huge. I think that game is going to be huge. That game could be very well for sixth to sixth wild card spot, assuming that the Colts don't collapse and can hold on to the fifth spot. That game could be very well for the sixth. Now, Miami's still hanging in there at 5-6, but they've got too many division games left, and it's not going to happen. And I don't like them. I just don't. I think it's going to come down to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, and I think Week 16 could be that game. So let us not write off Cincinnati yet. And I wouldn't surprise me if they didn't just do what I just did and said, do we bring Ben back now or do we give him one more week and let's make sure he's 100% and then let's go for 4-0 down the stretch? We may have Troy back. You know, we may be relatively healthy. Why don't we go for it? And 3 out of those 4 games are home. Let's shoot for that 4-game stretch. That might be the logic. And you know what? That's some sound logic. So, K-Star, if you're listening, catching me on archives, there's some hope for your team. There's definitely some hope for your team. Okay, remember, if you want to call in, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. We've got New York at Washington. We've got Philly at Dallas. We've got the NFC East. And I started thinking, what does that mean? what does that mean for the playoff run? You know, all of a sudden now, the Redskins went from 3-6 and irrelevant to 5-6 and a player. The Giants won a game against Green Bay that they needed to win to give them some breathing room at 7-4 so that the division, they're one step closer to locking down the division. But we still have a 6th seed that needs to be decided. And remember, when we're looking at playoff run in the NFC, division leaders right now, Giants, Bears, Falcons, 49ers. 5th place right now, Packers at 7-4. And then when we get to the 6th and final wild card spot, we've got Minnesota, Tampa, and Seattle all at 6-5. If you remember on Tuesday, they all have tough games and could all go to 6-6. Okay, I'm not going to replay, but they all have tough games and all can go to 6-6. So now you look at the 5-6 teams. Well, the Saints are out. They're 5-7. End of discussion. There's nothing else to talk about. Brings us to Dallas and Washington at 5-6. And could they improve their chances, if not on a division title, certainly on a wild card spot? Well, let's first start with the Redskins will need to beat the Giants, and the Redskins are home. So they will need to beat the Giants to keep the division even a possibility. If the Giants win, the Redskins go to 5-7. And now, to me, they're on the outside looking in. The Giants would go to 8-4. That's a 3-game cushion. You're not winning a division on a 3-game cushion with 4 games to go. It's not going to happen. Now the Redskins' only shot is a wild card, and now they're minimum 1 game out. And if one of the teams at 6-5 are able to pull an upset and get to 7-5, Redskins are done. So if the Redskins lose, in my opinion, they join the Saints, they're done. The same can be said for my very own Dallas Cowboys. This is a must-win. There is no tomorrow. You're not coming back at 5-7, in my opinion. Now, mathematically, you're still in the picture. But realistically, at 5-7 in the NFC, it's done. Dallas plays Philly at home. Philly is terrible. Dallas should be ashamed of themselves. I may not even come on the show if Dallas loses. I may not. I may send in a substitute. I may find somebody that'll call in and represent me. That's how ashamed I'll be if they go and lose this game. And don't get me wrong, it's a division game. Anything can happen. I listened to Skip Bayless this morning picking the Eagles to win, hedging his bets. I know how Skip operates, hedging his bets. You know, he knows doggone well that there's no way these Eagles should beat the Cowboys. But unfortunately, the Cowboys don't instill confidence in anybody. We don't know which team is going to show up. They're turnover bound. The defense plays up and down. The offense plays up and down. You know, and there's reasons for all that. But the bottom line is they have been very inconsistent this year. So we don't know which team's going to show up. But let's play this out for a minute. Let's go to the Giants' schedule. Toughest schedule, I believe, or one of the toughest remaining schedules in the NFL. Giants play at Washington. Let's assume they beat Washington. Excuse me. Pardon me. Giants at Washington. Let's assume the Giants are able to beat Washington and go to 8-4. They then host the Saints. Giants are not very good at home. They go to Atlanta, they go to Baltimore, and then they host Philly. Do you know that it would not surprise me if of these five games, the Giants were to lose 3 out of 5? And if the Washington Redskins are able to beat them, it could be 4 out of 5? The only game here that I think they should have no problem winning are the Eagles at home. They could lose 4 straight. You know, they could lose 4 straight games. This is not out of the realm of reality. And I know what they just did to Green Bay. I get it. But do you not remember how they got spanked by Cincinnati and how they lost to the Steelers? Okay. You know, they played the Redskins close, 27-23. They whooped up on the 49ers. Cleveland got up on them, and then they came back and won, lost to the Eagles. So, you know, which Giant team is going to show up? But they could lose 4 out of the last 5. They could win 4 out of the last 5, too. But you really think they're going to go to Atlanta and win? Or you really think they're going to go to Baltimore and win? I find that very hard to believe. So let's just say Giants now at 7-4. Let's make that 7-6. Okay? Let's say they beat the Redskins, 8-6. Lose to the Saints, 8-7. 8-7 with the Eagles. Sound familiar? Giants were 8-7 and had the Cowboys last year and won the division. 8-7 at home. Could win the division again at 9-7. But those Cowboys, let's just take a minute here and look at the Cowboys' schedule. 5-6 right now, they have the Eagles. No reason why they shouldn't go to 6-6. Travel to Cincinnati. Could go either way. Host Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh should be able to win that game if Ben plays. If Ben doesn't play, Cowboys should win. Host the Saints. Could go either way. And then they travel to Dallas. So let's make this real now. 5-6, beat Philly, 6-6. Let's just say they beat Cincinnati, okay? Let's just say they're able to pull off that win and go to 7-6. Home against the Steelers, no Big Ben, 8-6. Home against the Saints, 8-7. Or are the Saints wrapping it up and packing it in by then? Right, you see what I'm saying? 8-7 or 9-6 at Washington last game. So what I'm saying to you is you can't count out the Cowboys. But let's go back to the Redskins. Let's say the Redskins are able to win this game. Let's say the Redskins go to 6-6 and the Giants are now at 7-5, one game out. The Redskins go home to play Baltimore. Baltimore should be able to win that game. So 6-6 now becomes 6-7. They go to Cleveland. Now, Cleveland just beat Pittsburgh, gave Dallas all they can handle, and they're home. But let's just say Washington's able to beat Cleveland. Okay, so what do we have? We had lost to the Giants, so they go to – I'm sorry, I said no, they beat the Giants, 6-6, lose to Baltimore, 6-7, beat Cleveland, 7-7, beat Washington, beat Philly, 8-7, Dallas, last game of the season in Washington, right? You see, if you look at all of these NFC East teams, even though the Giants are sitting in the best possible spot right now at 7-4, let us not forget that they have to go to Atlanta, they have to go to Baltimore, and they're going to Washington on Sunday. But Atlanta and Baltimore, to me, are losses. their losses. So at 7-5, let's look at that team at 6-6 and three games to play. Washington, New Orleans, and Philly. Yep, they can be 10-6 or 8-8. We just don't know. So the NFC East is wide open. I was going to make a prediction, but I really can't because I just don't know. And you know, Washington is probably playing as good as we've seen them play all year, but their defense is very suspect. Dallas has had 10 days off after the Thanksgiving Day disappointment, so now they need to go on a run. And we all know that the Giants could go either way. They could go up or they can go down. The Giants tend to lose a couple this time of year, and that's why I think we're going to see them lose to Atlanta and Baltimore. But they're going to get a couple of wins in here, too, and they're going to make it interesting. And I think 9-7 might win the NFC East. But Dallas and Washington should not lose sight of the fact that even if they lose the division at 9-7, they could get 6 wild card spot in the NFC at 9-7. And at this point, you're playing to get in the tournament. That's really what you're playing for. All right, remember, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525, Twitter at The Madden Voice. And again, I'll say it one last time, hashtag The Madden Voice. Send me a tweet at The Madden Voice and just say, K-Star, please host. And then hashtag The Madden Voice. If we get 9 more people, K-Star hosts Tuesday night. Okay, let's make that happen. All right, next up, let's look at the NFC North. And, you know, the reason why I picked these two divisions is these divisions are pretty much separated by 2 games, you know. 3 teams separated by 2 games. You don't have that in any other division. You don't have any other division where there's 3 teams separated by 2 games except the NFC East and the NFC North, okay? And so when you look at the NFC North, and, of course, we have to start on with our very own Dr. Train, Chicago Bears. I mean, these guys are in control of their own destiny at 8-3. Excuse me, guys. Sorry about this cough keeps lingering. You know, they host Seattle. They travel to Minnesota. They host Green Bay, which could be for the division, if you ask me. They've already dropped one to Green Bay, so they're going to need that game. They go out to Arizona, and then they go out to Detroit. This is a deceptively challenging schedule because 3 out of the 5 games are on the road. And they're playing teams that have shown the propensity to beat anybody, and they're playing them in their stadium. Now, I fully don't expect the Bears to lose to the Cardinals, but they could, but I don't expect that. But could they lose to Detroit in Detroit? Sure they can. Could they lose to Green Bay at home? Sure they can. Could they lose to Minnesota in Minnesota? Sure they could. 3 division games. They could lose those games. Do I expect them to lose? Not necessarily. But when you have a team like Green Bay breathing down your neck, and we take a look at Green Bay's schedule, Green Bay is home 3 out of the last 5 games. And so while they have division games too to play, Minnesota twice, Detroit and Chicago, 3 of their last 5 games are sitting home, and we know how hard it is to play at Lambeau Field. Now, they do have to go and play Chicago in Chicago, and that's in the middle of December. But this is, you know, outdoor cold weather game. Is there a home field advantage there? I don't know. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. You know, Dr. Train would have to talk about playing in Soldier Field. But I don't know if there's a home field advantage in December when these two teams play because they're both outdoor stadiums. It's going to be cold. The ground's going to be hard. And this is what these guys do. So, you know, again, when you look at these two teams, the division games are going to make or break it. And let's not forget about the Vikings. Let's not forget about the fact that the Vikings, even at 6-5, you know, they've got to go to Green Bay. They've got to go host Chicago. And then they've got to host Green Bay at the end of the year. So they've got 3 out of 5 division games left to play, too. And they've got 3 games on the road. You know, so this is a dome team who has to go and play Green Bay in Green Bay. Let's see. They're playing St. Louis in St. Louis, dome. They're playing Houston in Houston, dome. And they're hosting Chicago at home, dome. So, I mean, if we look at their last 5 games, home against Chicago, dome. In St. Louis, dome. In Houston, dome. Home against Green Bay, dome. So 4 out of their last 5 games are played indoors. The only game they got to play outside is at Lambeau Field, and that's Sunday. And all accounts are the weather's going to be pretty good. So weather for this team isn't even going to be a factor. So, you know, I'm not making predictions. What I'm saying to you NFL fans is This season is far from over. It's far from over. Yes, you know, we've got teams that have leads, like, you know, the Falcons with their win last night. Bucks go down, they win the division. There's no doubt about it. You've got the Houston Texans with a 3-game lead over the Colts. No doubt about it. You know, you've got the Ravens playing the Steelers, and if they beat the Steelers, that's a 4-game lead with, what are we talking about? 4 games to go. It's a wrap. You know, even the Patriots now are putting some distance now, 3 games, 3-game lead. We're seeing that. The Broncos, a 4-game lead. So a lot of these divisions are all but sewn up. But two divisions that you want to keep your eye on are the NFC East and the NFC North. These teams are all playing each other. They're all going to beat each other up. And I'm telling you, you're going to see these divisions coming down to the last couple of weeks. There'll be no locking down the divisions with 3 or 4 weeks to go. It ain't happening. It's going to get locked down in the last week or two of the season. You can bank on that. So there's going to be a lot of good football played in the NFC. And, you know, I'm not going to make any predictions. You know, if Dr. Train were on, he'd say go with the Bears. And I can't argue as long as Cutler's healthy. And, of course, I'm still saying my Cowboys are they're in it. They're in it. They have a shot. But it all comes down to your team has to go out there and win. At this point, okay, I'm just getting a report on NFL.com, NFL Network. Big Ben is out Sunday. So that is official now. Breaking news, Ben Roethlisberger is out Sunday against the Ravens. So as I started off the show with, let me see, here it is. Quarterback Ben Roethlisberger's shoulder will not play Sunday at Ravens. Okay, so it is still a trap game for Baltimore, but now we know Ben's out. I don't know who's going to start. That's going to be very interesting, but we know Ben's not going to play. And I'm going to tell you, if the Ravens do win and win big, I'm not saying the Steelers are done. I've already told you why I don't think they're done. If Ben were able to come back and they were able to pull a 4-game winning streak, they could still make the playoffs. But the psyche of that team, having lost 3 in a row without Big Ben, is going to be tough. They're going to not only need Ben on the field, they're going to need Ben's leadership. They're going to need Ben's charisma. They're going to need Ben to really go in there and say, it's okay, guys, I got you. Jump on my back. I'm Big Ben. Real quick, let's look at the NFL games before we get out of here. You know, Atlanta at New Orleans, I went with New Orleans, and I still say New Orleans outplayed them, but Drew Brees had a bad game. But when you look at the stats, I mean, you know, in most of the statistical areas, New Orleans outplayed him except for one key area, and that was turnover. Drew Brees had a bad game, and so Saints at 5-7 are out. You got Buffalo at Jacksonville. Jacksonville brings nothing to the table, so Buffalo should win that game. Excuse me. Chicago at Seattle. forgive me, fans. 2 weeks I've been battling this cough. Chicago at Seattle. I'm sorry, Chicago's hosting Seattle. Please forgive me. Jacksonville is going to Buffalo. Chicago is hosting Seattle, and we expect Chicago to win that game. But if it was in Seattle, I'd be going with Seattle. Let's see. Hold on here for a minute. Just lost my screen real quick. Okay, got it back. We've got Indianapolis at Detroit. I'd go with the Colts in the upset, even though Indy's favored. Minnesota at Green Bay. I'd go with Green Bay. Let's see. Looks like Houston at Tennessee. You got to go with Houston there. Looks like Carolina at Kansas City. Carolina. And I'm being brief. You know, if you want more details, give me a call. San Francisco at St. Louis, trap game. Got to go with the 49ers. New England at Miami, trap game. You got to go with the Patriots. Arizona at the Jets. Who cares? we talked about this with the fan earlier. I neither team's going anywhere. Jets are favored. They're home. It's a meaningless game. I edge to the Jets because Arizona's quarterbacks stink. Tampa at Denver, you got to go with Tampa. I don't believe in Tampa. I don't believe in them at all. They got a good running back. I wouldn't call him great just yet, but he's showing something. But I don't believe in a quarterback. I just don't. Vincent Jackson has a resurgence in his career, and he's making Freeman look a little better than I think Freeman is. Cleveland at Oakland, Cleveland. Cincinnati at San Diego. 2 weeks ago, I would have picked San Diego. Now I pick Cincinnati. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. We know Roethlisberger is out. You got to go with Baltimore. Philly at Dallas. Dallas. And Giants at the Redskins. We talked about this game. You know, the Giants are favored. I will support Washington winning this game. I just don't think they can beat the Giants. I just don't think they're going to win. Giants play better on the road. So I don't know what I picked on Tuesday, but right now I'm picking the Giants to beat the Skins. The Skins defense is not that good. Dallas has a way of making average teams look super. And I think the Redskins looked a little bit better than they actually are, and I think the Giants will expose them. All right, with that said, we're at the end of the show today. One final reminder. Remember, at the Madden Voice on Twitter, K-Star, please host, #TheMaddenVoice. Can you guys do that for me, please? We want K-Star to host. We're looking forward to having K-Star host. Listen, Tuesday night, the show will be at 9 o'clock. This is, I see Dr. Tran is still on, so mark your calendar. 9 o'clock Eastern time, Tuesday night. My little daughter has a singing concert at 7 o'clock my time. I have to go hear my little daughter sing, my little 12-year-old. So I'm sorry, guys, but, you know, that's my family. That's my blood. I got to go hear my little daughter sing. It should be about an hour. So we're going to just play it safe and start 9 o'clock Tuesday night, Eastern Standard Time, the Madden Voice, myself, Dr. Train, and let's hope the host will be K-Star. Enjoy the games on Sunday. We'll see you Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we'll talk more about the playoff race. We'll look at the NFC East, the NFC North, and see if we've learned anything, and we'll see if these feuds are actually getting settled on the field. Goodbye, everybody.